570, an LA sports icon.
Fred Rogan is here tonight.
Decades on your television covering Los Angeles sports.
Fred Rogan, huge in Los Angeles.
The Dean.
I'm the Dean.
Fred Rogan.
Weekdays before Petros and Money.
A USC All-American.
USC's Rodney Peterson.
An NFL quarterback.
Absolutely perfectly delivered by Rodney Peterson.
Available on the iHeartRadio app or on AM570LASports.com.
This is Rogan and Rodney.
And we continue on. Fred Rogan and Rodney Pete on AM 570 LA Sports. You think people are starting to go out of town now?
Oh, yeah. My daughter Ryan just came in today, just landed, by the way, and she said it's just nuts at the airport. And she came in early. She was going to come yesterday or tomorrow, but she's like, I got to move it because it's going to be crazy tomorrow. But, yeah, she said already it's just a madhouse.
She came from New York. So she flew to LAX.
And it was just crazy at LAX when she landed.
Yeah, and our daughter Haley came in last night from Phoenix.
Yeah.
She's here, and we picked her up at Burbank.
Uh-huh.
Because we have a rule.
Yeah.
We don't want
the Burbank?
Yeah, we have a rule. We don't want the airport any further than 10 minutes from the house.
Of course.
That's our rule. I don't care where you're going, you're flying into Burbank. You fly into Burbank.
Even if you got to change planes 10 times, you're flying into Burbank.
You ended up in Burbank. Granted, yeah. It took you 19 hours to fly from Las Vegas, but you're coming into Burbank.
Yes, yes.
Because you know what? You come into Burbank, I'll see you there.
Easy.
Big
easy
smile.
Peasy.
That's right.
In more ways than one, because they have your face plastered all over the airport.
Yes, they do, Fred.
So there you go.
Yes.
No, you know
you
what?
You get free access when you go there because your face is all over
the free Wi-Fi.
NBC-owned Burbank Airport? I don't understand.
Seems like it.
First of all, I want to say this. There was some controversy with that. The last time you guys were there, or you were there recently, Kevin. Was I up then? No, here's why.
It's been about a year since I was
there. The weather crew is up there a lot.
Yeah. Right. So they put us up. They had the 11 o'clock anchor team up.
Yeah.
And today in LA, the morning show. Okay. Well, that's going to change anyway. So they had the 11 o'clock team up, and for whatever reason, they decided, we're going to put the weather people up.
Yeah.
Because the first thing you want to see when you land in Southern California are the smiling faces of the people that will tell you it's 75 and going to be 80 tomorrow.
Every day.
Every day. Weather is critical here. I mean, if there's one place you go, my God, what's the weather? How is it going to affect me? It's here.
Are you a little upset, Fred? You've been up at Burbank for 30 years now.
No.
Yeah.
No.
You've been up there forever. And
all
now
time.
Now the weather's getting a little love at Burbank Airport, and now you're pissed off?
Let me tell you this. So they put the weather people up there. That's great. God bless the weather people. You know? You got to have weather. Whether we like the weather's here to stay. So we have the weather people up. You know what they realized after a while? Maybe nobody knows the weather people. Maybe we should make a change. So we're going back up.
You're going back?
Going back up.
Because I just landed. When was it? I just landed the other day.
We were supposed to be up already. They took new pictures of us. No, I have the goatee.
Oh,
I saw you on the gas pump at Chevron recently, Fred.
Oh, yeah. We're there.
Yeah.
Yeah. We worked the pumps.
I think I took a picture of it. It was funny.
We don't get the AM 570 crew up anywhere. Or at least, you know, our show.
Yeah, well, maybe that should be one of our New Year's resolutions.
Maybe.
Maybe put us up somewhere.
Maybe.
That'd be great.
Yeah, we'll see that.
Yeah,
well. Will never happen.
Okay, well, you guys just come in and do your thing. Just do your thing. That's all you got to do. Do your thing. Kevin, isn't that right?
It's like you're working on an independent label, Fred. You know, the Sony Music and the big boys ain't helping you out. You gotta do your own.
You gotta, fine.
You gotta do your own listening parties, and you gotta do your own, set up your own gigs and stuff.
Kevin, don't you want to weigh in?
I think Ned Coletti's ready.
Yeah.
Clive Davis ain't coming down, you know, helping you out to play at Madison Square Garden. No, that's not happening.
No, we're the baked potato in
Encino.
Yeah, we are. All right. Do a hot stove. Welcome on our buddy Ned Coletti. Ned, thanks for jumping on today.
Hey, long time. Missed you guys.
Missed you as well. Okay. When you were in the big chair, this time of year? What was it like for you?
Well, a lot of it is sit around and wait, and then there's different crescendos that happen. As soon as the free agent market hit and we knew who was out there and we had done all our research ahead of time and we knew who we were going to kind of pinpoint, at least have conversations with, you make those calls pretty early on. And then you wait. Yeah, you know the agents. You know how they think. You know if they're going to be anxious to get something done. If you know if they're just going to continue to add offers and add to the floor to continue to raise everything. And so you just kind of, for the most part, you kind of sit and wait. And you wait for different things to happen. You pay attention to what you hear. But you also really kind of gauge what you hear from who you hear it. Because at this stage, certainly you've got a lot of information going on out there that is contrived, is a lot of agents use the media. Some teams use the media to get a little anxiety going across the board. But it's really a lot of sitting and waiting right now.
Ned, speaking of sitting and waiting, I just kind of walk us through like a Corey Seager situation, and with a guy that you want to sign back, you want him back, you love him to be a Dodger, but you know that price tag is going to be so high. At what point do you look at it and you start to feel or hear or get wind of some of the numbers being thrown out there, and you know, man, we're not going to be able to compete with that, and you start to kind of internally move on?
Well, I think you always have to have plan B, C, and D, and E, because you don't know. You're only a half of the equation. Sometimes you're less than half, because sometimes an agent's got an agenda. A player's family certainly have their goals. Club has got its goals. So it's not even really sometimes 50-50. So, you have to pay attention, and you have to know the style of the person you're talking to, the agent. You have to know the style and the goals and the confidence and the comfort level players have with the organization and things like that. But I think especially when you have high-end talent, and Corey obviously is a high-end talent, and he's also performed in October, which not everybody has done that who's on those free agent lists. When you have a player of that caliber, obviously you're staying in touch and you're hearing different numbers. And a negotiation is so much about listening. It's such a key component to it, to really listen to what you're hearing from the other side. And you're going to hear a lot of different things. You're going to hear some that's contrived. You're going to hear some that if you don't pay attention to the words being used, you may think something is happening because that's what the agent would love you to think, but it doesn't necessarily mean that's exactly what's happening. Like, we feel the market's going to be. Well, you feel the market's going to be a deal. What is the market? You have to be specific with it and really get down to it. But you always have to have fallbacks. You have to have fallbacks in different ways. I think the Trey Turner acquisition was probably a genius fallback just in case. Not everybody can play shortstop. Not everybody can catch. Not everybody can be a closer. Not everybody can be a top-of-the-rotation starter. A lot of people can fill in other areas and all those. But in those particular areas, there's only so many people who can do that, so that they went out and acquired another shortstop that is a bona fide major league shortstop. That was probably an initial fallback, but that still doesn't necessarily help you if you lose Corey and you move Trey. And now you've got second base that, you're going to have to figure that out if it's not going to be Gavin. So a lot of moving pieces, but you've always got to have different fallbacks. You've always got to be moving pieces around and seeing what your team looks like and seeing what your budget looks like and seeing what your lineup is going to look like and seeing what it's going to look like. And the scenarios, I can't tell you how many scenarios I would run this time of year where I say you sit and wait. Yeah, you wait for the phone to ring, you wait for conversation, but you don't sit and wait for activity as far as your thought process. That never yields.
Ned, can you share any stories that you went through when you were handling it this time of the year where you thought you had somebody and you didn't, or you got somebody you didn't think you'd get?
I'm not sure if I told you the AJ Pruszynski story a few months back.
That's
one that comes to mind prominently. Actually, we were just inducted into the Chicago Sports Hall of Fame together a couple of weeks ago, and we were laughing about that. And, you know, his recollection was the same as mine. But, you know, it's I don't know that I ever, except for maybe AJ, and it might be one or two other ones I can't conjure up at the moment. But, you know, I'm never somebody that, as they say, you know, gets ahead of the game and starts, you know, okay, we got this done. Nothing to me was ever done until there was a signed letter of memorandum that explains exactly what you've agreed to. Because without that, anything can happen. So I'm not sure we lost anybody. There was probably players we thought we had a chance, either via trade, like the CeCe Sabathia story I've told you before, things like that, that, you know, you're kind of walking to it. But I had so much time doing this that, you know, I knew that I could trust the process and the people to a point. And it doesn't necessarily trust that somebody would be dishonest with you, but you never know what's going to happen. And there's many times there's a team just kind of waiting in the weeds and is going to strike when they see that it's the time to do it. Going back 1,000 years, Greg Maddux, when I was with the Cubs and he left the Cubs for Atlanta, you know, the Atlanta Braves stood on the side and ended up offering him $500,000 more a year, as I recall, in and around that figure. But, you know, we had gotten, I was down to the pecking order of the baseball ops department at that time, but still involved in negotiation of it all. And the GM got a little bit anxious and started to spend the money earmarked for Maddux, thinking that Maddux wasn't coming back. And at the end of the day, Maddux calls me and he says, "Hey, how come I'm not coming back?" And I went to ownership. This kind of led to my way out there, I think. I went to ownership. I said, "Hey, we can still sign this guy." And he said, "Well, we've already spent most of the money." And I said, "Well, you know, this guy's generational. We drafted him. We've developed him. He just won his first Cy Young. Obviously, Hall of Fame career, one of the best pitchers I have ever watched. Genius at what he does." And they told me hey, zip it. We don't want to hear from you anymore. We're doing what we're going to do. And next thing you know, he went to Atlanta and did what he did. But, you know, that was one that, you talk about a big one that got away. That one, I can remember so much of that vividly. Mike Morgan, if you remember the pitcher Mike Morgan.
Yep.
Went to Las Vegas High School, same as Greg, and a couple of years older than Greg. And I assigned Mike a couple of years ahead of this juncture in time. And he called me at the winter meetings. He called me on a Sunday night. He goes, "Hey, what's going on with Greg? He's calling me like he's in a panic." You know, the Yankees had offered him a lot more than anybody, and Atlanta just waited. They waited, and when we started to spend money on other players, we didn't have the money to go after him, and Atlanta ended up signing him for really not much more than we had offered months early. But again, it's part of that waiting game, and that, as I think about your question, I mean, that may be the biggest one. And, a year later I was working in San Francisco. So, they didn't appreciate me telling them that I thought that they were wrong letting a guy like that walk out the door.
Sons of bitches. What's wrong with them?
Hey, but I traded for him twice, you know.
Yeah.
I traded for him.
Of course. Next, speaking of pitchers and legendary guys, Clayton Kershaw, how do you handle that situation? Do you have I'm sure you already have a number in your head and what you can spend and what you can offer him. Do you do that early, or you let it all play out? Do you let him know early what the number is or what it is? And then you want him to stay? Because obviously there's a number that you as a club and an aging starter like him, who's been the face of the Dodgers for such a long time, you want to keep him, but there's also business and there also is a number. How do you handle that type of situation?
Well, that's a very unique one there because of the way, you just described the situation very well. I think a lot of it all of the first pieces of this negotiation rest with Clayton. I think his health, how he feels, what he wants to do, what he would like to do. I think his loyalty is immense for this city, this fan base, this organization, his teammates. I also think he's somebody that gives a lot of thought to a lot of different things. You know, I've known him since he was 18 years old, and, you know, I know how much his family means to him. And as the kids get older, the separation that can take place in the midst of a season from time to time. I think the first section of this rests with him. I think when the Dodgers hear from his his agents about, hey, you know what, he's feeling good, have the medical take a look at him, and, you know, we'd like to come back for, you know, this period of time. So I think those are going to be two distinct negotiations. I think the first one is, in a way, a negotiation, in that until you know what Clayton really wants to do, you don't really have much you can do. I thought it was a great act of class not to qualify him with that offer to make him make a decision 7 to 10 days after he hears this number. I think that was very wise, very classy on everybody's part. And I think that they'll wait and see. And I think that they'll both have a chance to do what they both think is right. And I think what they both think is going to be right will be very close to each other when you talk about term and finances. Anything can happen, and I don't pretend to know. But I'd be shocked to find out that he goes some other place because of term or because of finance. I think a lot of it's going to be determining on how he feels and when he can pitch and when he can contribute. And, you know, people talked about him going to Texas for a long time. I would be shocked about him going to Texas, even though it's down the street from where he lives. This man's about winning. And I don't think he spends any time away from his family or any time preparing, because it's a lot to prepare for a baseball season, especially when you're rehabbing off an injury. There's a lot of work that goes in that, and you know what's coming ahead of it, 6-7 months. I don't see him going anywhere that he doesn't have a chance to win. That's why I think that him and the Dodgers are going to continue to discuss it. But I think the first segment of it is really, how does he feel, and what's the expectations of when he can pitch to the quality he expects to pitch at.
Ned Coletti with us, Fred Rogan, Rodney Pete, AM 570, LA Sports. We know that the CBA is going to be negotiated, and there's going to be a lockout. That being said, people are spending money now. Wander Franco, Tampa Bay, just spent over $200 million to sign him. And I thought, my God, for Tampa to spend that kind of money, that's an awful lot of money. I think it's 10 years, $235 million. When there's a CBA, Ned, that we don't know how it's going to play out, is it unusual to see clubs spend money now?
I think that it would be unusual to find a team that currently is sitting in and around that luxury tax to spend that kind of money right here, right now, because you don't know what the rules are going to be. Tampa is so far from the luxury tax, they could probably do 3 or 4 more deals like that and then have to have a conversation about it, you know? So that, I mean, I'm happy for their fan base and for their franchise that they did step out. They may have been getting a little bit of heat, too, from, you know, the negotiations going on where teams don't spend any money. They get revenue sharing, and some teams just spend the revenue sharing money and don't spend what other teams spend. I don't know if that's happening or not. It's just a surmising on my part. But I think you'll see teams that have no luxury tax implication kind of doing business as usual. Again, it takes at least 2 to tango to figure out what the player wants to do, and if the player is willing to forego maybe more information on their end. But I think the teams that are in that $200 million range, not knowing where the taxes are going to go, and there's more than tax involved, there's draft picks involved, there's other things that come into play, international spending as well. I think those teams, they're probably going to wait. They're going to probably wait to see how it's going to lay out, what the rules are going to be. Nobody knows what the rules are going to be. And I've been around basic agreements for 40 years, probably 6 or 7 of them. And there's probably none, maybe one, in the last 40 years that has, in my opinion, as much to be discussed as this one does. I think there's a lot of things that are on the table for both sides to get through. So I'm not sure that they're going to be able to get through it in another week or so. Maybe they do. Nobody really knows how far anybody's gotten to this stage. But I think that there's still a lot of things that people do not know. And I think you'll see like the Haney signing, you know, 1 year, $8 million. Okay. 1 year, it's not going to crush you either way. $8 million is probably not going to crush you either way. To do $300 million, $250 million on a player, $200 million on a player for 6, 7, 8 years. Yeah, you're going to be living with that for a long time, not knowing what the rules are going to be. I think those teams will be cautious with it. And I think agents also knowing what the market is for their player, because not everybody can spend $200, $300 million on one player. I think the agents are also kind of in a position where they're going to need to wait to see how it goes too, because if everything comes together in a certain way that benefits their client, maybe they have a greater market. Let's face it, free agency, it's like, you know, anybody else trying to get change jobs. You got more than one or two suitors for your time and your efforts, you're going to have a chance to get a better rate of pay. You have nobody but one, okay, you're going to have to listen to what they say and either go home or take what they got. So a lot of different dynamics that flow into this entire period of time. And I think there'll be a lot to be seen between now and the beginning of spring training. I think there'll be a crescendo at some point. I'm not sure it's right here, right now, though.
Hey, Ned, as they negotiate, how much does either side go back to 2020 and go, we gave in on that. We gave in on that because of the pandemic. Now we got to recoup what we got. I'm speaking probably more from the player side than anything else. How much is that going to come into effect in these negotiations?
Oh, I think it's part of it. I think that, you know, you always, whether you like it or not, it's tough to forget history. And, you know, I'm not taking a side on 2020 as to who gave what, who lost, who won, all that stuff. But I think that, you know, that negotiation, as it was going on, I was thinking, you know what, this is like the prelude to this collective bargaining agreement, because people are learning about each other's stances. They're learning about where people expect to be. People sacrifice, obviously, on both sides of that fence. And some people probably gave in a little bit here and there with the idea that they'll be able to recoup this later. You know, and maybe it's a gentleman's agreement, or maybe it was an innuendo or whatever. You know, who knows what the conversations were like. But I don't think that's easily forgotten. And I think when you have an industry as big as this, and you have the finances that are on both sides of it, you know, that's big time negotiating right there. So that there's a lot of different things that are in it. And you've also got, you know, the union has a new labor negotiator who did the 2020 kind of, let's get back to play and figure this out. But, you know, from what I hear, very talented and really, you know, going to be like Don Fear was and Marvin Miller before him and Michael Weiner, guys that were really steadfast in what they believed for their clientele, for their players. So it'll be interesting because it'll be his first big negotiation in this type of a spotlight. And, you know, you've got that dynamic, too. Rob Manfred and Dan Halem on the owner's side have been doing it for years. You know, Rob was greatly successful with Commissioner Selig in keeping labor peace. Now he's obviously, you know, he's in the big, big chair, you know, so a little bit different dynamic for him. But all of this stuff is very interesting to me. It's a television series if they could ever really open up and show it, because people would learn so much about what goes on. Besides, hey, was that a ball or a strike, or was he safe or out?
All right, Ned. Well, thanks for coming on. We've missed talking to you. So pretty soon we'll hit the new year, and we'll be back together all the time. Have a great Thanksgiving.
Hey, thanks, guys. Hey, you know, sincerely, I'm very thankful for all you guys. You know, Kevin, the whole group, been very kind to me, and I thank you for the time and the conversations that we've had, and I really thank Rodney, too.
Hey, I hear you loud and clear, Ned. I hear you loud and clear, brother.
I don't know that I'd be able to repay Rodney completely for him trying to keep everything cool right there. A losing streak of a game or two.
All right, Ned, have a good Thanksgiving.
See you later.
I don't know why everybody has that opinion. I don't get it.
Because you're the king of the meters. Like, I'm in red. I'm in panic. We got to bolt down the windows during baseball season. They lose three games, Fred. You're getting ready to jump out of the window.
Oh, that's fair. No, that is fair. I have had those moments, but I thought I was much better this season. And next year, I can't predict what I'll have next year. You know, I'm taking step by step. All right. When billionaires attack.
Is that what we call it?
That's next.
If you missed any of Rogan and Rodney, you can podcast it on the iHeartRadio app.
Rogan and Rodney.
AM 570 LA Sports.
How do you know the way I feel?
Oh, yeah. Happy Tuesday afternoon, Rodney Pete, Fred Rogan, in his Chapman University Panthers t-shirt. Looking like Kyle Kuzma a little bit.
Outfit. No.
Representing Jack Rogan.
Playing tonight?
Yes.
Against Whitman.
Whitman?
Oh, yeah.
Walt Whitman?
I think he'll be there. So it should be an easy game because he's dead. I ought to run right by him.
You showed me a picture of Jack. Jack looks good, man. Jack been in the weight room a little bit.
Yeah, he has.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, this is going to be it for him. He says it's his final year. He's actually got another year.
But he should shoot every time then.
Oh, well.
I don't know. I know you don't have to tell him.
No.
he never met a shot he didn't like.
That's true. But, you know, he's got another year of eligibility.
Yeah.
Because he redshirted and then COVID. And he said, what do you think? I said, well, you can't be 38 with three kids playing college basketball, Jack. There's a point where you got to call it. You got to call it. You got to call it. So this is it for him this year. But they're off to a pretty good start. They're 3-0. So we'll see how they do tonight.
Nice.
Then they have a tournament this weekend in Santa Cruz. I'm going to go up there for that.
Oh, Santa Cruz.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've never been.
Yeah. Good thing you didn't go when you were younger, Fred.
Yeah, I've heard
quite
that.
The party time town there that yeah. Santa Cruz is there, Fred.
Well, times have changed and so have I.
Barely got out of there alive a couple times, Fred.
Yeah?
Yeah, years ago. I used to head up to Santa Cruz. My agent, as we had on the show, and you know, Leonard Armato was my agent to begin with, and he ran the AVP, the volleyball.
That's right.
And they used to have big tournaments in Santa Cruz. Why are you smiling,
Captain? I hear AVP. I think one thing.
Beach volleyball.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, beach volleyball. Well,
he's the guy that got that started.
He got it started, yeah. Back at it, running it, too.
Yeah.
Married to Holly McPeak, who was big on the tour back then, too, as well. But, yeah, they had tournaments in Santa Cruz. I used to go every year. They had that tournament up there, and it was fun, Fred.
All right, maybe you should give me some places. No, I can take the other fathers.
Oh, good. Thought you were going to say something else.
No.
No, yeah. I don't know if any of those places exist anymore. I think they all got washed away, Fred.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'll survey the situation, give you a report when I get back.
Good times. Good times.
All right, let's talk about when billionaires attack. You know, owning a professional team, you're part of a partnership, right?
Yes.
Everybody's a partner that owns a team in the league. In the NFL, these are the most bloodthirsty, cutthroat people you can ever imagine. They are all highly successful in whatever business that they have chosen to be in. And they didn't get there by being Mr. Nice Guy. Right? I mean, that's the NFL. These guys will rip your heart out and stomp on it.
100%.
Yeah. And then buy you dinner.
Put a smile on your face.
Yeah, they will. They're the guys that will shoot you with a smile.
What did a good friend of mine used to tell me about ownership, and especially the late, great Al Davis? Is that if you shook his hand, you came back with four fingers.
Look, this Stan Kroenke thing in St. Louis, it's a complete mess. It is a total mess.
Yeah.
And
wait, break it down. So how did it become a mess, Fred? You got to break this down for me and the listeners.
All right, so here's how it goes. If we own a team, Rodney, if we own a franchise, in baseball, by the way, there's an exemption. You can do whatever you want. So if we own the Dodgers and we say, you know what?
Yeah.
We're taking our team and we're going to El Paso, and that's what we're doing. There's nobody can stop us.
Right.
Yeah, the city might be mad at us, but we can do whatever we want. In the NFL, it's different.
Because there's no antitrust law in baseball, right? So they can do all that.
They have the exemption.
Right.
Football doesn't. So in the NFL, it's different. In the NFL, to try and placate teams that were going to move, created this relocation document. So these were the things you had to do to meet the standard to relocate. And you had to check them off. One by one by one. When the Rams were in St. Louis, it was really simple. In their original agreement, they said, and the agreement was written, that the city of St. Louis always had to keep them a top-tier stadium. What does that mean?
Right.
Okay, that's kind of nebulous. What it means is you're going to have to do remodeling. You're going to have to fix stuff. You're going to have to give us more suites so we can make more money. It's your obligation. And at a point in time, if you're not willing to do that, then our lease becomes year to year, meaning we can start exploring these NFL relocation guidelines. So
So if they started year to say, okay, it's not up to standard or you're not trying to fix. So now we go into a year to year lease.
And if they
try to improve it year or they have a certain amount of time, okay, we're going to start construction, but it's going to take us 2 years to kind of do this.
No, you can't go anywhere because they're going to live up to the letter of their agreement, which was it has to be a top tier stadium.
Yes.
All right. So the city of St. Louis, which is still paying off the dome, by the way, said we will do improvements. There'll be $124 million. We've assessed it. We know what it'll take to get it to a top-tier stadium. Have you been in that stadium in St. Louis?
Yes.
Okay, so have I. And you and I were both in Atlanta for the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Okay. Atlanta's the newer stadium of the two.
Right.
Is it safe to say that Atlanta stadium was absolutely mind-boggling?
Night and day.
Okay.
Yes.
So St. Louis was no longer a top-tier stadium.
Right. I look at Atlanta, and I was telling my kids this. Well, a couple of them went to the Super Bowl with me that because the Rams played in that
right.
Super Bowl. We were in Atlanta.
Yeah.
That it's almost like a mini SoFi in the way the screen is the same up top and the way they have the underneath and the concessions and all. It was a beautiful stadium.
Right.
It's a beautiful stadium.
Well, yeah. St. Louis, we were both in that stadium.
Yeah.
Doesn't look like that.
No.
So it wasn't a top-tier stadium. So the city of St. Louis said, okay, we're going to improve it. It's going to cost $124 million. That's what we're going to spend. And then you can't go anywhere. Well, the Rams said, okay, but we've assessed this ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to cost $700 million. And St. Louis went, well, we're not going to spend $700 million. And the Rams said, okay, it's not a top-tier stadium. Therefore, we're leaving. We have that right, and we can go. And they exercised that right. And the people in St. Louis were upset with Stan Kroenke. They were upset because he said, we'll stay. We want to keep football here. Well, sure, but it's also business. And business is business. All right, so what happens? The Rams then fulfill whatever the guidelines the NFL set to make the city losing the team happy. And it's the NFL rules. And they said, you can go. That's it. You fulfilled the obligation. City of St. Louis said, wait a minute. No, you didn't. You didn't deal in good faith. All along, you were looking to leave. Probably true.
Yeah.
Probably.
Is it provable, though?
Probably. They could probably prove that. Yeah. We are looking to leave if you don't do what the contract says. It's that simple.
So, but do they have factual evidence that St. Louis didn't really do what the contract said?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the easy part.
Okay.
Here's what the improvements are going to cost.
Case closed. Why?
Case closed.
Yeah. So what are we talking about?
Well, it comes down to these relocation guidelines and the fact that the NFL, going back to, had Stan sign an indemnification form against litigation. And litigation is just the way we do business in America. Okay. Mm-hmm. Rams go. City of St. Louis feels that it was aggrieved. They file suit. Oakland did the same thing.
Right. And lost.
Right. The judge in Oakland went, no, thank you.
Yeah. We don't want no part of it.
There's nothing to see here.
Yeah.
They're going to appeal up there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but they got no case.
It'll be a loser.
They didn't really try to improve Oakland Coliseum at all. They didn't do anything to that. Yeah.
Okay. In St. Louis, a judge said, wait a minute. There could be something here. I mean, the city's lost tax revenue. People have lost jobs. We still haven't paid off this dome. We can proceed with this trial. Now, the NFL went back and tried to argue numerous times, and the guy said, no, we're going to trial in January.
How much of that? I mean, I know it's filed in St. Louis, and it all depends on where it's filed, cases like this. But don't you think I don't care if you're a judge or not. Look, I don't even get into what we just saw. But a little bias about St. Louis, if you're in St. Louis and the town is lost his team and there are evidence of we lost tax revenue, we lost this, and we're still paying for this. Somebody's got to pay for it now, and we're going to come back after you. There might be a little bias.
There might be, sure. I mean, people are human beings.
Yes.
You know what they're saying this might cost the league? $4 billion.
To fight this case?
No.
Or to settle it?
Kroenke wanted to settle it for $100 million. They went, no. Then he said he would settle it between $500 and $750 million. This is out of his pocket.
Yeah. And so now,
if it goes to trial and this thing really goes and the league loses and Kroenke loses, This could be $4 billion.
And because it's out of his pocket. I mean, it was out of his pocket when it was $500 million or $750 million. Now that it's in the billions, he's like, indemnification, come on back in. I need you guys right now.
I mean, that's how it got there.
Yeah.
That's how where we're at.
We're all in this together now.
Yeah, and that brings the other owners in going, we're not paying.
Yeah.
Well, this is your problem,
yeah,
brother. You take care of it.
Yeah.
That's where this is right now. And it's really pretty ugly. And the sad part for the people in St. Louis, and believe me, I know when we went through this and the amount of grief I took on Twitter from the people in St. Louis, they don't understand. Here's what you have to understand. And it's hard to process it, but you just have to be realistic. If you're opening a business and you have the money to open a business and you can you can fund the business, you're going to make way more money here, done the end.
Yeah.
Nobody's saying St. Louis isn't a great place to raise your family if it is. I don't know. Wonderful place to live could be. I'm not sure. But if you want to make money, you're going to make money here or New York or Chicago. This is where you make money. St. Louis does not have enough top-tier companies to be able to spend the money in a stadium and buy those suites like they can at SoFi.
Yeah.
It's simple. It's simple calculations. You make more here. Cost you more, mm-hmm, but you make way more here. Business is going to come here. A National Hockey League team would do well in St. Louis, and it does.
Yes.
Right? It's you don't need as many fans.
Right.
It doesn't cost as much to operate.
Yeah. You don't need the premium seating like you do in football and basketball. Right.
You have more games.
Yeah.
Okay, we're doing okay. We're not going to get filthy, stinking rich here, but yeah, we're not going to lose money. And a good time is had by all.
Mm-hmm.
The NFL is a different animal. And that's why you see teams go to growth markets. That's why you see the Raiders go to Vegas. That never would have happened years ago.
Right.
Is now why? Vegas is a growth market. And the A's are looking at land now,
mm-hmm,
in Vegas.
Yeah.
Why Vegas? You could go anywhere. Why Vegas? It's a growth market. Nashville is a growth market. That's where you want to be, in markets that are growing. If you're owning a business, what's it going to be like for the next 25, 30 years? I want to go to places that are growing. I was born in Detroit. You played there. For many years, Detroit was a top 10 market, one of the top 10 markets in America. It's not anymore.
No.
You don't want to be there.
So, Fred, do you think part of the negotiation ploy, at least for some, they say, is that St. Louis will back off of some of the monetary damages and charge you a little bit less if you promise us an expansion team in St. Louis? Do you think the NFL would ever go for that, just based on everything you just said about the market and its size?
Kind of like they did in Cleveland?
Correct.
Yeah.
What do I think?
Yes. Do you think the NFL would go for that as far part of the negotiation? We'll give you an expansion franchise if you charge us less, or we get less money coming out of our pockets to the city.
If it gets to, like Fred's talking about,
$4 billion,
that might be a consideration.
Because that is something that's been thrown out there.
Yeah, the only way I think that would happen is if it got to $4 billion. And again, when billionaires attack, they all got into a room and said, wait a minute, all right, Stan, we're not going to stick you with all of this, and here, we'll make them happy.
Right.
Otherwise,
because something, you know, with those guys, at when it comes to that and gets outrageous and those numbers, they start going, okay, now what if this happens to me?
Right.
You know, and I'm the one that voted no. You know, and I'm going to be left out there all in the cold. So, you know, let's figure this out together. That's where it's going to come to. You know, under a billion, Stan, you got that. But I think now that it's getting close and it's over a billion and close, it could be $4 billion, I do see the other one stepping in going, okay, we got to all fight this together.
And if they did that, here's what would happen. Whoever, first of all, if that was the case and the league made that decision, there's going to be an expansion fee, right?
Yeah.
So it's going to cost you $2 billion to buy in.
Mm-hmm.
$2 billion goes to the league. They split all of that.
Right.
So now they made money.
Yeah.
But if it wasn't that, if it does not come down to that expansion situation, St. Louis will never again have an NFL franchise.
Oh, no. No.
Ever.
Ever. After they did that? No, no, no.
No. And I'm not even talking about after they did this. Yeah. I'm talking about they will never have an NFL franchise. They won't go back there.
No.
You think when the NBA, if and when it expands, they're going to St. Louis? Or you think they're going to Vegas? Or Nashville?
They're not going to bring back the Spirits of St. Louis, Fred? Come on.
Bob Costas, that's original play-by-play guy.
That's right.
Spirits. I love the ABA. But it that market's not going to grow.
No.
Not exponentially like a Vegas, so, or a Nashville, or these growth markets. One other thing on this, you know, you want to be in growth markets, but sometimes it doesn't work. And I'll give you a perfect example. Phoenix.
Yeah.
Okay. Cardinals don't sell out. And by the way, they should have changed their name. They came from St. Louis. That was stupid.
Yeah.
Diamondbacks don't sell out.
Yeah.
They draw 25,000. Suns are better now.
Right. But they were, that's only because they're winning.
Right.
And they won last year. But up until then, remember, I mean, even now, they're you know, ownership is in trouble.
Right.
It was mismanaged. But yeah, they were struggling with attendance.
Arizona Coyotes have basically been kicked out of their own building.
Yeah.
City of Glendale said, we don't want you here anymore. Go find another place to play. That's how poorly that franchise is run. So Phoenix is a growth market and continues to grow. Phoenix, Scottsdale, Tempe, Rodney, you're there all the time. Yeah. I'm there all the time. It's growing.
Yeah.
It's not a great sports market.
Right.
And, it, you know, so would you want to own a team in Phoenix? I don't own the Suns because I grew up watching them. But
if you did, the Suns would probably be the one because you think about baseball, nobody wants to be in Arizona in the summer.
That's exactly what kills them.
Yep.
Derek Hall, who's the president of the Diamondbacks, told me that.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't matter what we do. Nobody's here.
Right.
Everybody gets out of here.
Yeah.
And baseball's a summer sport.
Yeah.
Right? If I had a chance to get a franchise, I'd either go to Vegas or Nashville.
Yeah.
One or the other. Both have hockey. Both do well in those markets.
Yep. Hungry fans.
Yep.
Hungry for, you know, sports brand. They support. So, yeah.
No state tax, Tennessee, Nevada. More money to spend.
Yep.
More disposable income.
Will San Diego get another team?
No.
Sorry, San Diego.
Why not?
No. They didn't they couldn't support the team they had. No.
Yeah.
I felt when they won,
well, neither
they
did Cleveland.
When the Chargers won down there, they did well.
Cleveland is a legacy market. I think, could San Diego get another market? Are another team?
Baltimore?
Okay. Without saying no, let me say this. Sure, they could. Somebody's going to have to spend $5 billion.
Privately. You're right.
Yeah, privately.
Build their stadium, yeah.
Privately. State of California.
Yeah.
So, you know, Stan Kroenke is a guy that had that kind of money. Go down and build SoFi in San Diego, right? There's five. Give me 2.5 for my league application. I don't know who's got $7.5 billion sitting around to go. I just want to.
Let me look on my. Contacts.
You know a lot of USC people.
Let me look at my contacts. Real quick.
Two or three of them.
Give me
jump
2 minutes.
In there.
Boom. Speed dial. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I don't see who's got that kind of money to be able to do it. And also, San Diego is kind of a lifestyle market.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. You don't. You better win.
Yeah, you got to win. Otherwise,
nobody's coming.
Right, because you'd be outside.
Yeah.
Right. The ocean. The city's beautiful.
Yeah.
Great restaurants. Why?
Right. Right. It's even been, tough on the Padres. They don't really, and it's in a great area, and they are exciting. But, you know, other things to do in San Diego.
Los Angeles is a corporate hub for business. This is where international businesses are.
Yeah.
That means they can spend money.
And entertain like nobody else.
And that's what they do.
Yep.
San Diego.
Vegas is the same way.
Vegas is the same, right.
Every hotel bought that suite.
Oh, yeah.
They got those suites sold out in like 30 minutes.
Moving to Vegas saved Mark Davis and the team.
100%.
If he doesn't go to Vegas, he doesn't own that team.
Yeah.
It would
force him out.
Yeah, because he doesn't have the money.
Yeah.
Now he's doing just fine. Okay. All right. I didn't want to say it. We just have to do it when we come back.
Happy holidays to you and yours from everyone here at AM 570 LA Sports.
You know, health, happiness, generic.
The LA Dodgers, the LA Clippers, the UCLA Bruins, the LA Kings, and LA's best sports talk.
Your family.
AM 570 LA Sports.
Thanks for joining us on your ride.
Thank you very much, yes.
Speaking of which, traffic.